This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. My name is Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and John is to my right. And today we are going to be talking about the justice of God. We're going to be doing this for a few weeks, is just talking about a different characteristic of God. And the reason behind all of this is I think that the church, and maybe the world too, has gotten a little confused on the idea of all of these other characteristics flowing out of his love. We want to talk about the God of love, but when we define love, we have to use the scriptures to define what love is. And we can't just define it how we think of it. It has to come out of what the scriptures actually talk about. And so one of the things that come out of God's love is justice. When you guys think of justice, what do you think about?
I think that justice is this idea of making things the way they should be, making things the right way. You know, you often hear justice and you think of like somebody committed a crime and they're going to serve as justice prevails. And that might mean going to jail. It might mean the electric chair. It depends on what they've done, but it's making things that are wrong, making them right.
Yeah, I would say I often think about the word fair when I think about justice. What's fair, what's right, things like that.
Yeah, in a court of law, you are punished for your wrongdoings, and you have a debt to society. Mm-hmm. We use those terms, and that debt may be time in prison, or it may be a retribution type of a thing where you have to pay out. You often have companies having to pay because they lied about something or they didn't tell the full truth about something, and we're all for that, these settlements that kind of come out. So we understand law at some level. We understand justice at some level, and yet when it comes to God, we, for some reason, get a little bit confused on why that would be there. And one of the, I think, the problems that I see are people not understanding sin. What we do is we think that, well, I'm okay, you're okay, and so we're all okay. And of course God loves me because, look at me, I'm cute. And the reality is that we cannot begin to understand God's justice unless we first understand sin. And sin is lawlessness. It's an iniquity. It embodies everything contrary to God's holy nature. It's an offense to him. And you go, well, I haven't been offensive to God. Well, the Bible says you have. According to the scriptures, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it may not be the crime of the century that you've done, but any sin is an offense toward God.
And I think that's a good point of pointing out this idea or concept of the law, because without the law, what is justice? Because if you're doing your thing and I'm doing my thing and everything's good and I'm just doing what I feel, then there's no real line to cross, because it's blurred. There's nothing definitive about right or wrong.
Right, but the reality is that it's set upon our hearts. We understand from the get-go when something is unfair. If you have a brother or sister and they get a new bike and you're left with the hand-me-down for the fourth time in a row, you understand that there's something wrong with that. If the little brother gets it and you're maybe the middle child, the forgotten child, and we understand something's wrong with this picture, and I don't like this. And so we understand justice when it comes to us. We don't maybe understand when it comes often to other people. And so an example of this is if, let's say, God forbid this, but let's say that a burglar comes into your house and kills your whole family. You're left alive, and the judge, and this is how people are viewing God and sin, the judge comes and says, they catch the burglar, and the judge says, hey, you know what? I'm just a loving, kind judge. You can go free. All of us would be up in arms over that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I will be honest, I would be taking justice into my own hands.
Amen. I think that's the thing. Like, we want justice when we're offended. We want rights to be made wrong, but we don't often look at the things. Like, if somebody cuts me off in traffic – you guys have ridden with me before. It's a fun time. there's some things that are said, and I wish the cop was right there at the corner to pull him over.
The California howdy doody is what I saw.
Yes. I neither admit nor deny anything. But if I do the same thing, I want mercy. And I think that's what it is when we look at our lives in relationship to God. We want his justice on others. We want him to smite those that infringe upon our rights or our happiness or whatever that is. But we often overlook our own stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, you know, in this conversation that we're having so far, thinking about judges and our desire for justice that's built into us. It's interesting to me, you know, when I think about where our culture is at with this kind of thing, you know, one of you alluded to this already, this idea that is starting to crop up more and more that we should be able to decide for ourselves what's just and what's not, because we know, right? Because we're good people generally, which I don't really believe, but we live in a society where we have for a long time had judges in place, like for legal issues, because I think we recognize that, and this was long, long, long ago, recognized that we couldn't be trusted to judge for ourselves because we're not always honest. We're not always able to see things clearly. And so this idea of a judge outside of the situation is the norm for us right now, which I just think that's an interesting aspect of judgment as we talk about that.
Yeah, back to the idea of sin, and we're going to keep hitting that on this because I think we have to, is a sin deserves a response. Injustice deserves a response. I think those are interchangeable. Uh-huh. And the Bible says that sin deserves the strongest response possible. And the strongest response possible is death. And so when we talk about the death penalty, we're not going to get into whether we agree with that or don't agree with that. But when we talk about the death penalty, it's the strongest response possible. And the scriptures indicate that sin deserves the strongest response possible, whatever that sin may be. And there is only one who can come along, and the scriptures reveal, that can remedy that for us. The Bible says that we're already condemned. We're already sentenced, and that sentence is death. That's our greatest enemy. Death is our greatest enemy, and the Bible says that you have already been condemned. You've already been sentenced to death, and yet God in his mercy and his grace sends his son, God in the bod, to come down, to die on the cross, to rise again, and it's our sin that puts him on the cross. He was absolutely righteous. He was absolutely perfect. He was absolutely without sin, and he takes our penalty. He pays our debt. And so justice is satisfied in that moment when Jesus dies on the cross. And Jesus dies on the cross for everyone's sin. The answer to this, or the connection to this for us, is faith in Christ. You believe in the one he has sent. You believe in the one who died on the cross for you. It is like, you know, a bail bondsman, if you will. If that person pays for you to be bonded out of jail, and that's what Jesus basically did, mm-hmm. You either accept that or you don't accept that. And what the Bible says is that Jesus came and he took your penalty, and you're to put your faith in him.
It's the bond idea is such a powerful one. I don't, you know, now that, as I think about this story, I haven't thought about it in a long time, and I don't know if this works the same way in every state, but I grew up in Illinois, and my dad had some ties with the police there. He was a volunteer, you know, like traffic control guy. He was on a volunteer team. Anyway, so he knew a lot of the police in our area. And my dad, when I was 17, I think, gave me a bond card. Have you heard of these before?
Yeah.
I don't know I haven't thought about this in a long time, but I got to use it one time. I got pulled over when I was in high school, and I was driving too fast, to the point I was driving fast enough that over the speed limit, that the police officer was going to take my license away right there. Which is like, oh, okay.
Which you probably should have. Yeah. I've seen you drive.
Oh, gosh. Come on. So, but I had this bond card, and the way that it worked is I said, oh, hold on. I've got this bond card. I gave it to the officer. He kind of was like, oh, okay, and gave me back my license and sent me on my way. You know, you had to pay for that thing. But it was, when you think about this in terms of our sin, being us being set free from our sin and our sin being paid for. It's a good picture of like, yeah, we're guilty and we become set free by something that someone else did.
One of the things about justice that I think is that we see it all throughout our world. Mm-hmm. We see the ramifications of sin, the curse, all through our world. And we find suffering, we find death because of the curse. The curse is it comes about because of sin. The world seems to it's natural in our minds to think of justice, where it's natural in our minds to see injustices. And the reality of it is, if we look at the world in which we live, we all eventually lose. Mm-hmm. There's going to be suffering in your life at some point. There is going to be it's just a part of living in this broken world. And yet there's this reality of a righteous Father, a forgiving Savior, and a life-giving Spirit that is indicated in the scripture, that is the bond card, if you will, to this. We present this card, and the card is Jesus. We say we place our faith in him, and the promise of that is eternal life. The promise of that is paradise. The promise of that is to be adopted sons and daughters. The Bible is very clear that we are enemies of God prior to that. We are not all children of God. Whoever says that hasn't read the actual scripture. Mm-hmm. We're image bearers of God, but we become children of God as we place our faith in the one in only the one who is righteous, and our debt is paid. And that's all through the scriptures. And so justice is being served by Jesus dying on the cross for us.
Mm-hmm. And it's a humbling reality that we don't pay the price ourselves. You know, I think sometimes in the church, those of us who call ourselves Christ followers, sometimes we can have this problem of being self-righteous, where we think somehow that we're better than other people. And the reality that you're talking about here is that, no, I did nothing to be set free other than accepting grace, accepting a free gift. If that reality doesn't humble you, I question, you know, if you're really understanding what's going on there.
And that's just a picture of mercy. You know, we talk about God's grace. That's a merciful action for us to be able to have our debt paid, not for anything we could have done ourselves, but on behalf of Jesus and his work. And so whenever I think of biblical justice, there's always that sidecar of mercy that goes right along with it. And I think that's the part of this faith thing that makes it hard to wrestle with some of the injustice that we see in the world. But when you start to take that in light of our offenses against God, and sin we talked about is lawlessness, and it's offensive to God and has to be paid for, that it's nothing that any human being could make that payment for on our own. And so in God's goodness, in his grace, in his love, in his mercy, justice is still paid, but his loving kindness gets us there.
There's a great passage of scripture that really kind of encompasses what we're talking about today. And so if you have your Bibles, I would just challenge you to open them to Romans chapter 5. And it's the Apostle Paul writing on what we're actually talking about. And it's Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. And in that passage, and I won't read it all for you today because we don't have time, but it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. And what he's talking about there is the original sin when Adam chose to go against what God had. It was an affront. It was an offense. And that has passed down from generation to generation to generation. In that passage, it talks about that there's this second Adam. And that second Adam is Jesus. Just as sin entered the world through one man, which is Adam, righteousness and justice and the ability to be saved entered through one man. And that one man is Jesus, the God-man. And so God in the bod. And so God took on flesh to pay for our penalty. And so when we talk about love, what we're talking about is a God who satisfied the justice that needed to be to be satisfied. He wasn't just this judge who sat up there and went, well, I'm just a good guy. It doesn't really matter. No, he still needed payment for that, and that payment was his son, and he chose to do that, and Jesus was a willing participant to go to the cross, his blood shed for us for the remission of sin or the taking away of sin.
And that just reminds me of the passage, we love because he first loved us. You know, we don't have that capacity, but we've been shown that great mercy and grace. But there is, like we said, justice within that. It also makes me think of one of my favorite verses is Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. That's something that we can do. It's still not something that we earn on our own, but it points to this picture of, all right, justice is here. My mercy is also here. Now, here is how you walk in that love.
Absolutely. Yeah, like there's another passage of scripture that says his kindness leads us to repentance. Well, what are we repenting from? We're repenting of sin. We're turning back to him. We're walking toward him. And so his kindness in the justice, like he could have just smited us all and been totally justified in doing such, but he chose differently to send his son full of truth and full of grace and full of mercy for you and I. And for everyone who places their faith in him, he Jesus came to save the world.
And that's the reality that really drives what we do at Evangel and what I think many, many Christian churches, followers of Jesus are doing. It's sharing the good news that there's a way to be saved, a way to be set free from the consequences of sin, which, as you mentioned, is death. That's just a reality. And the fact that there's a way for us to be rescued from that for all people who are willing to accept Christ and make him Lord of their lives, it's possible to be set free from that. And, you know, we've been talking a lot here at Evangel for a while now as we go through the book of First Peter about this reality of suffering in our lives. And, you know, it's not a guarantee that we won't have suffering, but it's a guarantee that we have hope at the end of it all, no matter what.
And that reminds me that a couple weeks ago when you were preaching, you were talking about how the judgment is not ours to dole out. That in the midst of that suffering, we see things that aren't right. And, you know, almost all of us have some form of justice meter that wants that revenge. We want to get back at whatever the offense was. And we're told that it's not something we're to do. It's not in our hands. It's God's job.
We want to see people get their punishment.
Yeah. Smite.
Yeah. Well, I want to see it.
Well, one of the things that I think about is that God's judgment destroys evil. Mm-hmm. And what is he judging? He's judging evil. Mm-hmm. And so when you place your faith in Jesus, I think one of the things, and I think this is maybe just a humanity thing at some level too, we should yearn for the end of murder, casual cruelty, genocide, sexual wickedness, 10,000 other evils, and oppose them. And yet Jesus says, on the cross, he says, it is finished. Well, what is he saying? Well, it's not that sin is still here. Sin is still a part of the world in which we live because the world is broken. What is he saying? He's saying that he's overcome the penalty or the judgment of this, and he destroys what is evil, and he says, hey, you can have new life in Christ, and someday I'm coming back, and all will be made right, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, because he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords. Yes. And so this whole thing of God coming and judging is actually a really good thing, because it destroys evil. Well, that is good news you can use. We're going to continue to do this throughout the next few weeks, is talk about some characteristics of God. And hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast of Pearls and Swine. If you have a question, if you have a thought, you have something that you want us to talk about, I'll turn it over to Travis and he'll tell you what to do.
Yeah, you can catch up with me, Travis, at evangelup.org. If you want to tune in to any of our previous episodes, you can catch those on your device, Apple Podcast or Google Play, and just search out Evangel Houghton there. And we always have our stuff up on our website, evangelup.org, and you can catch up with any of our sermons, any of our podcasts, or just find out a little bit more about who we are as Evangel Community Church. Thanks for tuning in with us this week.